God is good. Amen. A week and 3 days ago, we were speaking here Sunday night and spoke on the subject, the voice, talking about the voice of the Lord and discerning the voice of the Lord, really talking mainly about the inward witness, but talking about his voice through his word, his voice through the inward witness, his voice through that still small voice, primarily in those three ways. And looked at that and spent our time a week and 3 days ago talking about that, the voice. As I concluded that message that night, I knew in my spirit that somehow we weren't done. I had so much more that we had prepared that we didn't have time to get out that night. And I knew that night as I was in my conclusion that I wasn't done with that, and just feel that we're supposed to come back to that tonight. And I'm not going to go back to any of the 3 points I made that night. We talked about the care, the cost, and the choice on that night. And I encourage anybody just to get that that CD that we shared from that night. But just for the balance of time, we're not going to go back to any of that. We're just going to hook right back up to where we were at before we started our conclusion, and go with one more point. I want to add one more point to those 3 points: the care, the cost, and the choice. And tonight, I want to talk about the consequences. And if you have your Bible, go with me to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. We're going to start at verse 22, read verse 25, read verse 28, read verse 34. Acts 15 is where we are. We're going to begin tonight. Acts 15. And we're talking about the voice, talking about the, not the popular TV show, but talking about the voice of your Father, the voice of your Heavenly Father. We said that time before, that God, he loves you so much. He loves all of us so much. He's acquainted with your voice. God knows your voice personally. He hears you when you call. He hears you when you cry to him. God knows your voice personally. And but here in Acts chapter 15, reading this first scripture, if you will, from the New American Standard, that's Acts 15:22. The rest of what we read tonight, then we'll read in the New King James Version. And So Acts 15:22. Someone said, you don't have your iPad tonight. I just left it in the car. Just seemed good to do it this way tonight. So we just seemed like we should do it this way. All right, Acts 15:22. This one from the New American Standard. It says that it seemed good to the apostles and elders with the whole church to send men on their way to Antioch. And Acts 15:22. It seemed good. It seemed good. Notice that phrase there. Now, these other verses, all the rest of them are in New King James. Verse 25. Acts 15:25. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Acts 15:28. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Acts 15:34. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. Obviously, drawing your attention to this phrase, it seemed good. Talking about the voice, the leading, really, the leading of the Lord, the leading of the Holy Spirit. It seemed good. It says here at verse 22, at verse 25. You say, why did you read 22 in the New American Standard version? Well, New American Standard scholars say is the most accurate version that there is, but it's just translated a little more accurately in the New American Standard, but it's going to say the same thing, basically. New King James. I could have read it just as easily in New King James. but that phrase, it seemed good, is what I want to draw attention to. Now, here in Acts 15, of course, the Council of Jerusalem is the setting, and the believers, the early church, they are determining what criteria should be used in order for someone to become a Christian. That's a pretty important meeting. I said, that's a pretty important meeting. But there was some discrepancy within the church as to what people needed to do, and some were starting to say, good, well-meaning people, well-meaning Christians were starting to say, if you were wanted to give your life to Jesus, then you had to convert to Judaism or follow the Jewish laws. And of course, Paul and Barnabas and a number of people disagreed with that, and because there was a dissension in the church and there was some confusion, they convened a meeting, that's Acts 15, to determine how should believers, what we take for granted today, faith in Jesus, just believing that he died for our sins, believing that he rose from the dead. Amen. I said, we can't take that for granted. Amen. And thank God it's that simple. By his grace, he paid the price. All we have to do is receive what the Father did. The Father did it all in giving his Son. His Son did it all in giving his life. And today, all we have to do is receive that. Amen. Believe and receive. So anyway, so they convened this meeting to determine, and that's a pretty important meeting, but the real outcome of how they decided a person becomes a Christian, they heard from God on the matter. And as they expressed the way they heard from God, they used this phrase, it seemed good. And that suggests to me that there was not a, pardon me, spectacular revelation of the Holy Spirit, which God can do that. Thank God. Thank God for that. Thank God for all of the gifts of the Spirit, and we should eagerly desire and pursue spiritual gifts. Amen. And Pastor Marvin did a marvelous job teaching on that some weeks back. And God can do that. How many, God can speak to you. He can speak to you in your personal life even, in your personal prayer time with tongues and interpretation of tongues. Can speak to you with a prophetic word. Can speak to you any number of with a word of wisdom he can speak to you. There's just any number of ways that, but we're talking about primarily how God leads us, primarily how the Lord leads us. Amen. So here, this phrase, it doesn't seem that the Holy Spirit spoke in any spectacular, spectacular way. Let me say it that way, because it was still supernatural. But it just, they use this phrase over and over again. It seemed good. It seemed good. Almost to suggest it seemed good inwardly, in their hearts, in their spirits. Their spirit man, it seemed good, it seemed right. And you know, when we follow the leading of the Lord, you know, if we'll yield ourselves over to him, then we'll get a knowing down on the inside. We'll start feeling a compelling, a knowing, a green light. Somebody said it was a velvety feel. You'll start feeling something. You'll start getting a knowing down on the inside. I was saying on the May 22nd when we spoke the first part of this message, I was giving an example. I shared one example about how I missed it before. And then I shared a second example of how I learned to follow that leading. And if I had been at the same place maybe where I'd been previously when I missed it, then I might have missed it again. But I said, I'm going to learn. I missed it one time. And I said, I've missed it many more. I don't mean to suggest I've only missed it one time. I've missed it many times. I'm saying in my example that night, I was sharing that example about how I missed it that time. But I could take the whole service and share some. No. But the thing is, I was in a position that I might have missed it again, but I learned some things about missing it before, and that helped me that time. And because I didn't miss it, I'm here tonight. Because what happened after that, someone asked me to come and take a church, and it was a great offer. It was a great offer. And in my head was saying yes. But then, you know, when we started fasting and praying, just got it real clear down on the inside. Don't do that. Didn't hear an audible voice, just sensed. Don't do it. Don't do it. Just had an impression. Do not do that. Didn't know why. Wanted to do that. The only thing I knew, the Lord had told me to go and to prepare my heart to go into full-time ministry. I'm working at FedEx at that time. Everything that we seemed to touch, the Lord just seemed to bless us, just seemed to be turning to gold. And our income, six-figure income, and we were enjoying just the Lord just blessing us. But when the Lord told me to get ready to go into ministry, well, that's he didn't tell me anything else. Except that a pastor approached me and said, I want you to take this church full-time. It's got 500 members. Come up here and preach. You have 500 members, a beautiful building. And offered me, as a starting salary, offered me my current FedEx salary at that time. Said to pay all my moving expenses. And my head was like a bobble doll. But that bobble doll, that'll get you in trouble.
Because oftentimes we're operating about 18 inches where we're missing it by about 18 inches, which is the average distance between a person's head and heart, they say is 18 inches. And sometimes we get over in that head realm, we miss it by about 18 inches. And left here one time, moved to New Jersey, missed it. But then now I got this offer from him, had the bobblehead, but I realized, hey, I missed it before up there. Need to make sure I'm down here, not up there. Said amen. And then as we prayed it out and we fasted, skipped a few meals, and then it just got so clear, don't do it. The Lord didn't tell me what he had in store. The Lord didn't tell me what he wanted, just said, don't do that. And you see, so glad. But see, it oftentimes as the Lord leads us, something, if we'll get in his word and stay in fellowship with him and yield over to him, something on the inside will just seem right. And then many times something on the inside it would seem wrong. Won't seem right. I remember back in 1985 when I was a student here at Brother Keith Moore in class, he said, listen, if it doesn't seem quite right to you, it's not right. Brother Hagin described it like washing your feet with your socks on. Something just don't seem quite right. And when we ignore that, then we can get ourselves into trouble. You can miss it real easy. And a lot of times, if you let your emotions get in the way, if we let our emotions get in the way, you'll miss it. Because emotions are connected to desires. And if you let emotions lead you, you'll miss it. And so this phrase, it seemed good. They made the decision about how one becomes a believer just by yielding themselves. They said it seemed good to us, down in verse 25, it seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit not to lay any greater burden upon you. In other words, they were saying people should receive by faith, get born again by faith. Faith in Jesus is all that's going to be required. Seemed good down on the inside. Yeah. But there are times, my friend, when the Holy Spirit can check you and I and begin to tell us inwardly, don't do that. And it doesn't mean that it's necessarily a bad thing. It might be the right thing. It might be the right move for somebody else. It may not be the right move for you. Right, right. Yes, sir. And you can find, you can get yourself shown off in a ditch following the Lord's leading of some other brother or sister. Because he may sure enough be leading them, but if you following them, if your eyes are on them, you will wind up in a ditch. Paul said this, follow me as I follow. Yes, he did. So over in the next chapter then, Acts 16, we have such a case of the Lord instructing his people not to do something. They're smack dab in the middle of the second missionary journey. And they're discerning, Paul is with Silas. Now you notice when we read 15:34, the Bible said about Silas, it seemed good for Silas to stay there. And Silas had been sent up to Antioch by the Jerusalem church, Silas and another brother, with the letter stating the instructions as to how people receive Christ by faith. They wrote a letter and sent it to all the churches. And then they sent two men to accompany the letter just to confirm that what was in the letter was authentic, had come from the church at Jerusalem, from the elders and apostles at Jerusalem. And Silas was one of the brothers that was confirming, yes, that letter is authentic. Yes, that came from the apostles. And so he was only up there in Antioch. He was only up there to determine, in Jerusalem. He was only there to determine, to confirm what the letter had said. And so they were to go back after they had read the letter, then they were going to go back home. And so, but the Bible said at 15:34, it seemed good to him to stay there. Doesn't tell us anything else, just that same phrase, it seemed good to stay there. But then, as we find out that Paul and Barnabas had had a disagreement over John Mark had joined him in Acts 13:5, had left him in Acts 13:13, and they had had a disagreement in Acts 15 at the end, as before they started the second missionary journey. They had a disagreement over John Mark, and so because of that, then they decided to go separate ways. Barnabas and Paul did. And at that time, Paul then chose Silas. Silas was only there. He would have been back home. Silas was only there because it seemed good to him to stay there for some reason. But what God had in mind was that he was to partner up with Paul on this second missionary journey. He didn't know it at the time. It just seemed good. I should stay here. The other brother went back home. Silas, why aren't you going home? It just seemed good. I should stay here. We need to learn how to follow that. I said, amen. Said we would make much greater, better decisions if we would just follow that on the inside. And so over in Acts 16, verse 6, smack dab in the middle of this second missionary journey. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Verse 7, and after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit, most versions say the Spirit of Jesus, did not permit them. A spirit, our Spirit of Jesus, talking about the Holy Spirit, amen. And so, 6 and 7, the Spirit of the Lord keeps them from doing something that they're trying to do. Now, they're doing a good thing. They're preaching the gospel. Churches are being strengthened and confirmed, and they're preaching the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And so they're doing a good, the question is, were they doing something wrong? No, they weren't doing anything wrong, but they're trying to go into Asia, and the Holy Spirit's saying, don't go there. Amen. They're trying to go to Bithynia, the Holy Spirit's saying, don't go there. Now, a foolish conclusion would be, well, you know, maybe the Lord didn't want the gospel preached to the Asians. That would be stupid and foolish. Yes. Amen. Amen. Because you read Acts 19 and verse 10, and it says the gospel was spread all over the province of Asia. So it certainly wasn't an issue of God not wanting the gospel to go there. Certainly he did, and they did, and it did. But here, really, it could have been a question of timing. The Bible doesn't tell us. It could have been a question, you know, you had mobs of people hunting Paul down, trying to kill him. God could have been protecting them. Doesn't tell us why he didn't want them to go at that time. Just tells us that he didn't want them to go. He forbid them to go. The Holy Spirit said no. The Holy Spirit said don't do that. And let me tell you this. We have all of us have a hidden override button. You understand what I'm talking about? That is that the Holy Spirit's a perfect gentleman. And he's not going to force you and I to do anything. I said he's not going to make us do anything. He gave us all a free will. And the thing about it is, he's a gentleman. He's not going to force us. If somebody's pushing you, if somebody's driving you, if somebody's riding you, like, that's the devil doing that. The devil does that to people. But God, he gives us a free will, and he doesn't force us to do anything. And listen, he wants us to be yield. He wants us to yield ourselves. And so they could have just hit the override button. Well, we're just going anyway. And a lot of times that gets people in trouble.
Yes, it does.
Overriding an impression from the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Sometimes folks say, well, you know, the impression, I sensed that impression not to do it before I overrode it. And sometimes folks say, well, you know, the impression was so slight. But really in the realm of the Spirit, it's probably much stronger than you recognized.
Amen.
I said, amen. This microphone is magnifying my voice, but if I turn the mic off, you wouldn't be able to hear me. And oftentimes I think he's speaking to us at a magnification level like a microphone, but sometimes something has dulled our spiritual senses where we don't hear it as strong as God's given it. And that's not an indictment, that's an encouragement for all of us just to press our way in, to incline our ear. Said amen. Because one thing for sure, God don't want us depending on another man or another woman to hear from him. We are his sheep individually, so much so he'll leave 99 and go check on one. And that one is you.
Yes.
He'll check on, he'll leave the 99, go check on one. But the thing about it is, he doesn't want us having to depend on any man, on any woman to hear from him. And if you got to depend on a man or woman, you're in bad shape already. Because people are human, and number two, people mean well. But people don't always get it right. But you're his child, and he'll lead you and guide you. And so be careful not to hit that override button. And when he starts prompting you, I remember we were on a cruise, and I had booked the tickets for this cruise, and I made a mistake when I booked the tickets. And I didn't check the return date. I checked the return date. I didn't check the return time. And I was booking the tickets through Priceline.com. I'll never forget that, because as I was booking the tickets, I just was trying to get the best rate. And I just put in our return date. And I did not think about the fact that they could send me tickets back that said, you're going to fly back here. You have to leave at 6:30 in the morning. But see, when you're on a cruise, most time, well, at least the cruise we were on, we weren't planning to get back to Miami until like 8 a.m. on the boat. So we're planning to get back on a Sunday at 8 a.m. When I booked the tickets, Priceline.com, and saw what they gave me, then they want us to fly out Sunday at 6:30 a.m. Well, how many know that's a big conflict? If you're supposed to be on a plane at 6:30 a.m. and you ain't even back at Miami at 6:30 a.m., you're going to have trouble getting home. And I saw it right after I booked it, and I said, oh, Lord, I messed this thing up. Oh, Lord, please help me. And now I think it's a little easier today. If you make a mistake, they give you 24 hours. I booked tickets recently. They said you can cancel it within 24 hours. But back then, you couldn't do that. And so they were much more stringent about it. And I called. They said, you can't change it. I said, I just booked it a minute. They said, you can't change it. They said, well, you know, we'll charge you. I think, I don't know, it was some huge fee. I was going to have to pay $300-$400 just to. And so I didn't want to do that. And so prayed about it. And here's what happened. Just felt a peace on the inside. And just felt this. Didn't hear an audible voice, but just felt this impression. Just listen and follow me. I'll make it okay. And so I threw my hands in the air and waved them at him like I just didn't care. Went on the cruise. Well, we're on the cruise with another couple. We just had a great time. We had a 7-day cruise. Had a great time. Now it's Saturday night. We're at dinner with this other couple. It's the last night of the cruise. We're at dinner. I've forgotten all about what the Lord said. Just had such a good time. Had such a good time. But at dinner, started feeling uncomfortable in my spirit. Started praying. I started eating slower and praying under my breath. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. I know the Lord's trying to tell me something. And let me tell you this, the Lord knows. It's not. You can't even say it this way. Let me just say, he knows way more than you or I. It's unfair to even say it that way. Our knowledge is so limited. But oftentimes, he'll put us up on his shoulders and let us see what we couldn't see on our own. Anyway, I'm feeling uncomfortable. And the more when I started praying in the Holy Ghost, and I'm praying under my breath, well, now it's getting stronger. It's not like a burden lifting. It's getting stronger. And my wife looked at me. She can tell something's wrong. She can see I'm praying under my breath. She's whispering to me, what's wrong? And I said, I don't know. And it got so strong. Now, see, in times before in my life, I would get there and override that. And just miss it right there. But I'd learned a little bit now. And I knew, don't you override. When God's trying to tell you something, don't you override that. Make time for the Lord. Make time. Push back. Push away. Make time. I said, the Holy Ghost is talking to somebody in here right now. When you override that, you're going to miss God. And see, it's getting stronger. I'm trying to just be polite and diplomatic and say a few things under my breath. And now I'm just praying over. And she said, what's wrong? I said, I don't know. And finally, I just said, look, I apologize. And I said, I've got to go to the room and pray. And I'm just going to leave the three of you here. And I've got to go pray. And then my wife said, well, I'm going with him. And the other couple said, we understand. And so we're praying. We're on the way back. She's asking me, what's wrong? I said, I don't know what it is. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Now, we had packed our bags before dinner and put our bags out in the hallway. That's what you got to do the night before the cruise. You know, you put your bags in the hallways, and the porters come, get all the bags, they take them down in the belly of the ship, and then you see them sometime the next morning after you disembark. And so before dinner, then the captain and everybody had said, you know, get your bags out in the hallway because they're going to come and collect the bags and get them down to the belly of the ship. And so we had done that. The bags were in the hall. And as we approached our cabin door, I could tell there's something with these bags. And so I walked over to our bags, and she said, what? I said, I don't know, but we need to take these bags. It's something with these bags. And so we got the bags and took them inside our cabin. And I immediately thought my head got in the way, and I started thinking, maybe we put money in there. You're not supposed to put money in your bag. Maybe we didn't pack something right. Maybe, you know, maybe we should have put something in the bag. And so we went through the bags. Everything seems to be in order. And the burden is just lifting like a bird leaving a roof. I mean, I'm feeling peace now. I never forget what happened after that. The captain, he made an announcement to everybody on the ship. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, he said, the men and women are coming to load the bags. And if you have not placed your bag in the hallway, do so immediately. And if not, you're going to have to carry your bag tomorrow. They are coming to get the bags right now. Do so immediately. And so I started listening to what the captain said, and I got my mind off my heart. And he made another urgent announcement. And I said, well, there's nothing wrong with these bags. We better just put them back out there. And so we put the bags back out there. And I knew something still wasn't right. But I didn't know what it was. And we went on, and we had an early evening and went to bed. And I never forget, the next morning, I woke up, and the ship, you know, all the travel had been calm and everything, but it's really calm. It's calm. It's like 4 o'clock or 4:30 in the morning, and I mean, the ship is calm. I went and opened our balcony door, walked out on the balcony, and my goodness, we're sitting there in the port of Miami. We have to be back. We're back here 4 hours ahead of schedule. And then it hit me like a ton of bricks. Oh, my goodness, I miss God. Lord, you were trying to show me. I told my wife, I said, that's what it was about last night. She said, what do you mean? I said, if we had our bags, we could get off. We could just go get off. We could make a 6:30 a.m. flight. That's what our tickets still show, 6:30 a.m. The Lord told me, listen to me. When I made the mistake with the tickets, he said, listen to me. Follow me. And I'm telling you, I was following him. And then I got up in my head. And that's what happens a lot of times. You let the noise from your head get in the way of the river flowing in your heart. And God trying to tell you something. And I said, we could have got off. If we had kept our bags in the room, we could get off. We could go right down now. Our bills already paid. We could go right down now, get off, get a cab, and be right at the airport in 20 minutes. We'd be able to make that 6:30 flight. But as it was, we had a lot of expensive things in our bags, and we had to claim them afterwards, and we had to wait for our bags, and we didn't get off that boat till about 9 a.m. And by that time, our only option was to fly standby, because our 6:30 flights had obviously gone. We got out of Miami okay. Well, I think it took us one or two flights. We waited and got out of Miami. But then finally, we finally went somewhere to another city, and then finally made it to Dallas. And I mean, we had waited on flights all day long. And it's about 10 o'clock at night now. And see, if we had got our original tickets, we would have been home before noon. It's 10 o'clock at night. We're still in Dallas. They got one seat left on the last flight of the evening. I put Lorena on that flight. You say, how'd you get home? Rented a car? And after the most peaceful cruise, had to rent a car and drive 4.5 hours back here. Now, that's a jacked up way to get home when you've been on a cruise, let me tell you. Ain't nothing good about that. But me and the Lord, we had a conversation, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, and see, and the Lord, he encouraged me. You were listening. He showed me how, look, at different points in your life, you would not have followed me. You would not have picked up on what I was showing you at dinner. But you picked up. You started praying. You pushed away from your plate. You went to pray. You got the bags I wanted you to get. And then you switched over into head mode. The Lord was encouraging me, and I was receiving little comfort driving that car. But I was more determined than ever. Father God, I'm going to get the whole thing. I'm going to learn to follow you completely. Because I can see how you're trying to get me to avoid all this. You don't want me to spend a whole day traveling. You're trying to get me home. And that's what you were telling me when I booked the tickets wrong. You told me to follow you. You told me to listen. I started listening if I had hung in there. But next time, Lord, I'm going to get it right. You may have missed it in here. Listen, stop beating yourself over the head. Just get over it. Get over it. Let me try to say 5 quick things to you before we leave here in 6 minutes. I'm going to try to say 5 quick things in 6 minutes. Go with me to Psalm 32. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to get as far as we get. However far we get, we'll see what the Lord wants us to do. If he wants us to do something another time, I'm not going to. In Psalm 32, here, I'm going to make 5 points to you about 5 areas that can make us dull and less sensitive to his voice. 5 areas. These things can make us dull and less sensitive to his voice. Number one is the failure to repent. Psalm 32, verse 5. The failure to repent will make us dull real quick. You'll never be sharp in hearing the Lord and walking around with unrepented sin. I said amen. I said I can't get no amen when I teach like that, but it's true anyway. Listen, sin will make our ears dull to the leading of the Lord. There ain't no other way to say it. And all this talk out here today about you can do what you want, live any kind of way you want, do anything you want, you will be so dull, you will be so dry, you will be so insensitive to the Lord, following your head instead of your heart. Because sin will make us dull to the leading, will make us that leading of the Lord, that direction of the Lord, that still small voice, the power of his voice through his word, sin will make that dull, will make that seem so distant. I said, there ain't no other way to say it. Here in Psalm 32, verse 5, David said, I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the iniquity of my sin. Look at verse 3 up there. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My vitality was turned into the drought of the summer. Listen, he's saying, look, until he confessed his sin, he just felt the heavy hand of the Lord upon him. And he just, you know, his strength and vitality was drained. But there's nothing that will free you up like just good old-fashioned repentance. The Bible said this, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, he will. I said, yes, he will. And if you did something wrong, look, there's a spiritual bar of soap, 1 John 1:9. And the thing about it is, there's no other way. Listen, you want to be sensitive to the leading of the Lord, sensitive to hear his voice, sensitive to him. Hey, keep a clear conscience. And if you have known sin, you got to repent. But oh, if you do that, you'll begin to hear him so clear. Secondly, the failure to forgive The failure to forgive will make our ears spiritually dull and insensitive to him. Go over real quick, Mark 11:25-26. You know that scripture. Mark 11:25-26. The failure to forgive. We always quote 11:22-24. Mark 11:25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything.
Yes.
Everybody say anything.
Amen.
And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses.
Yes, sir.
The failure to repent will make our ears dull. The failure to forgive will make our ears dull. Thirdly, the failure to read and meditate in his word. The failure to read and meditate in his word on a regular basis. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Yeah. Jesus, quoting Deuteronomy, said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Joshua 1:8, you remember what God told Joshua? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. You remember that? Then over in Psalm 1:2-3, the Bible talks about meditating in his word day and night. Well, there's a reason God's telling us to do that, because it'll make us sensitive to his leading. Sensitive to his voice, sensitive to him. Make us sensitive. Number four, the failure to pray. The failure to pray in the Holy Spirit is what I'm trying to say. The failure to pray in the Holy Spirit. Write these references down. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 and verse 5. If anyone speaks in an unknown tongue, he speaks unto God, not unto men. Yeah. Verse 5, Paul said, I want you all to speak in tongues. Verse 18, he said, I'm glad I speak in tongues more than all of you. Bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you so much. We've run out of time in sharing what we have, and so we just pray, Father, that you'll confirm what we've shared with folks tonight, and that we realize that by the Holy Spirit, people will need some different part of this message individually. So we yield to you, trust you, lean on you, and ask you to confirm that which people have heard tonight, watching via live stream or in some other way, or actually in this service. Speak to hearts individually in this place, and we'll give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Just don't feel like I should rush this, so we're just going to end there. We just unhook there and just see what the Lord says about the future. We'll just do whatever he says. But anyway, be more sensitive to him. God wants us to make good decisions. He wants us to be blessed. He's trying to get something to us, not from us. We have a lot more to do with hearing clearly from him than we have heretofore given ourselves credit or blame for. So you need something tonight, come up here to these folks, and they'll agree with you in prayer. Did we have any first-time guests tonight?